After a week or two, there will be something that would crop up, and with great interest, I would like to know what it means. You sit down, it's a mystery. So these happenings, you see, twice or thrice, it so happened that I was disappointed, really disappointed. I said, what's this? I'd love to know what it all means. And then the first thought came into my mind, how beautiful it would be if I were at the time, you see, of Jesus, and if I had followed him, you see, there wouldn't have been any mysteries, yes, it would have been so beautiful. And then another thought came, but he has promised to come again, because I had studied all this. So his assurance is there that he would come again. And what about that? That's wonderful. When would he be back so that all these mysteries would be solved, you see, and nothing would remain? And then that every time, you see, that I was given that rebuff, you see, sit down, it's a mystery, I would think of him and long to be with him. And paradoxical enough, I didn't know that he was the same one. He would come there and wait for me at the gate, you see, in the same way. Yeah. But then my mother never told me that he was the same one. She would say that, well, he's Zoroaster. And so I said, so what if he's Zoroaster? It has nothing to do with me. Nobody told us at the time, us the kids, that Zoroaster and Jesus and Buddha and Ram and Krishna and Muhammad, they are all just, these are the names and different forms, but they are one and the same, as Baba has given us now. Nobody told us. It was his fault. So here in classroom, I even longed to be with him. And I still remember having shed a couple of times real tears, you see, to be with him. How beautiful it would be if I had been there by his side, following him. When will that day come? How will it be possible? Will it come in my time? What will happen? And there, naturally, he was there most probably. I don't remember now, don't recall. Because now I couldn't relate at the time that he's the same one. But now, in retrospect, I feel that he must be most probably at the time there, waiting for me, in answer to my longing here in the classroom. But when I was deaf, dumb and blind. So, I missed all the opportunity. And that's how the play, the game went on and on. And years passed by, and I passed my school final. And our papers used to go to Cambridge, you know. Standards were Cambridge standards at the time. You know, Oxford and Cambridge. So there it would go, and the results would come from there and all that. It was a great day. We passed with good ranking, credits, and everything was happy. Parents were happy and all that. And completely forgot about the whole thing. Nothing mattered. We had good friends and good society. Everything was perfect. The setting was so perfect. Nothing lacking, nothing wanting. No need to say prayers, because there's nothing lacking. When do we say prayers? When we suffer, when we want something, or something was there, when we need comfort, that's how mankind prays, you see. But well, I was brought up in such a way that Baba must have blessed, you see, in his mercy, our family, in such a way that everything was found at home. Nothing lacking whatsoever. There was complete harmony, perfect happiness. Everything was found there, you see, food and everything. Nothing. Days passed by, years passed by like this. We never visited Baba in Ahmednagar, except that once I still remember, we had, after I think my school final, my father took us there to Nasik again. Nasik is a sort of a good place, you see, during summer. As I told you, Nagpur summers are rather hot, 121 degrees. So Nasik is a cooler place. So it's nearly 450 miles or so. So we went by car. My father owned cars, so we won't go. There, it seemed that Baba had camped there. The Westerners had come there. Early, in the 30s. Some Westerners were there and Easterners were there. And so here, my parents hearing that Baba was there, so naturally they took us there, the children. So Baba Swami, you see, says, what do you intend to do? He asked me. I said, no, first of all, he says, it so happened that he started limping as he came, approached me. And what I found was the strap of that chappal got broke. So he says, do you know how to stitch a chappal? I said, no. Because it was a fact. My mother, you see, now to give you some ideas to the training of the parents, of the children of those days, my mother had kept a cobbler to teach me the art. She had kept a tailor to teach me the art of tailoring. She herself was a good cook, so she taught me the art of cooking. My father was an engineer, so he taught me somewhat of things pertaining to engineering, you see, and little mechanical things and all that. We had a sort of a tool room there and a workshop there at our place. I, having a fondness for chemistry, I had a laboratory. So I used to, juggle with all sorts of chemicals and all sorts of things like that. And we had a perfect garden, you see, so I had a hobby of gardening also. And then we had the tennis court and the badminton court and gymnasium. And yeah, another thing that I must have a good body, so my parents, you see, had master, you see, every day he would come there and teach me how to do exercise because I was too lazy to get up early in the morning. You know. And that's all, that's how that was in my fate, you see, to have all the best of things. So my Baba asked me, will you teach, can you stitch it? I said, yes, I can. But I didn't have any implements to do that. So I still remember having gone to some place, you know, Mehru's mother lived there. You know this Mehru? Mm-hmm. So she had a house nearby. So I went there and asked her, have you got a machine? Sewing machine, mind you. So naturally when Baba had asked me, can I do that? It was not that I, through great respect and love and reverence for Baba, but well, my pride would be hurt, you see, if I didn't do it. You see, that was the spirit at the time. So some, by hook or crook, I must see that it is mended immediately. So that's how I got board holes, you see, in chappal and the strap and all that, and then I started and gave it in no time to Baba, and he was very pleased. He says, you know, it was, I said, well, I learned it. Then he asked me and called me and says, what do you intend to do? He says, well, I have applied now for, no, I intend to do engineering. Engineering? He says, what will you do with engineering? I said, well, I like it. So there were a couple of engineers around him at the time. Means among the visitors and close ones who had come there. So he called them and he must have winked at them, I tell you. Now I realize all that. Because he says, look, this young man wants to go in for engineering. Do you think it's a good thing for him to do? He says, what? You want to go in for engineering? He says, oh, you have to stand before a fire all the time and it's a dirty job. Why do you want to go in for engineering? I tried to feel, you see, and think, I says, if they are real engineers, aren't they speaking through the hat or what? Why do they say like that? You see, what's engineering? Do you mean to say that you stoke boilers? You see, that's called engineering. What is it? What makes them say like that to me? Are they real engineers or what is it? I didn't understand that Baba must have given a signal, you see, to discourage me. Well, whatever it is, to discourage me. And I was not discouraged at all, you see, because I knew my father was an engineer and all that. So, well, I said, I like it. He said, all right, but I would like you to do my engineering. Just a passing hint, you see, while I departed, he said that. I still remember, the words still ring there. It was not he who was speaking, but it was interpreted. It meant nothing to me at the time. There was nothing in that. So it was finished, passed. Then it was now time for me to decide now. I must go in for engineering. Must means the next session I must start engineering college. And all of a sudden, there was a vacation in summer. For the first time I received a telegram from Baba. Direct, formerly correspondence was between my father, my mother and Baba and Bhagavad. He said, come and see me immediately, Panjikani. My mother came out of the house. Says, was there a messenger here, telegraph messenger? I said, yes. Because, you know, they come ringing the bell. So whose telegram is it? I showed her, this is from Baba. He wants you immediately. At the time, I was fiddling with my garden pots, you know, putting them in shade and all that. Summertime it was, May. So, my mother says, go immediately. I said, yes, I'll go if he wants me. But immediately, what immediately means the next day, according to us, you see, the youth at the time. Immediately didn't mean that we should just take the next breath is there that you go to the station. Immediately means the next day. My mother says, no, with Baba it is not like that. But I couldn't understand all the time, you see, my mother telling me this, you see, with Baba it is not that, and Baba is this, and Baba is. I said, the next day it will be equally good. And mother had just little like, she didn't like it, she was disappointed in me. And I continued with my work. Within an hour, you see, another messenger comes, telegraph messenger, same message. Says, come and see me immediately at Panjgani. So my mother comes out again, well, is there another messenger? I said, yes. Whose telegram is that? So I said, well, it's the same message, but it's from a different station. Baba was traveling, it seems, from south towards Pune. Same message from different station, railway station. So my mother says, see, I told you what Baba means is come immediately. Leave everything, go. There is still time for the train. I said, it's only half an hour, 3/4 of an hour left. Said, never mind, you go. So, well, very hesitatingly, I don't know why I had to leave and I had to go like that, leaving my plants and like that, you see, because I had great love for the plants. I was a great gardener. So I left in my car. The car was there. So I left the car at the railway station, unattended. And I sat in the train and left. Went to Pune. From Pune I sat in the bus and went to Panjgani and saw him there. And I went there and saw him. All what he said was, very happy to see you. He made me sit down there and I sat down. Very happy to see you. And he says, will it be possible for you to leave all and follow me? I said, by your grace, everything is possible. I said, that's good. So on 1st of August 1938, you come, leave everything and come to me. All right. Now you can go, he said. Well, I lifted my bulky body, you see, from the ground, you know, and stood up. In the meantime, I said, wait. Will it be possible for your parents and your sisters and my brother that was there? Yeah, he was born very late. So, will it be possible for them all to leave everything and come and follow me? I said, by your grace, it's possible. He says, I want them also to come. Tell them. I said, all right. Now you can go. So, I just got up and left. Before leaving, Baba said that, well, where will you go and rest tonight? Where will you sleep tonight? Because those were the days when we didn't have any frequent buses from Panjgani to Pune. Panjgani is a hill station. There are no railway stations. It's 75 miles uphill. So I said, I'll stop at some hotel here. He says, no. You have your food somewhere and go and sleep in my cave. Do you know where my cave is? I said, no. I will find out if you want me to sleep. I was young, energetic, if you can find out anything, you can even. So he said, all right, you go and sleep in my cave. Then I got down the steps and I said, mind you, there are tigers, you see, because Baba's cave is situated in Tiger Valley. There were tigers there. Live tigers, mind you, Bengal tigers. He said, are you afraid of tigers? I said, no. Baba says, it's very good, you're not afraid of tigers. Then he says, if you happen to see one, will you bring him by his ear? And that was the last, that was the conversation, that's all.
Eric, why did you, it seemed like a kind of a switch that you would start saying, by your grace, I'll leave everything and follow
you. So that's
you.
What I still don't know what made me say that.
Did you wonder at this juncture?
No, nothing. It's just, I'm just narrating to you exactly as what happened. And as much time as it has taken me to narrate you, that was the interview, that's all. For a life and death question like that. Otherwise he would go on haranguing, you see, for a minute little point here, as to how you drank water and why did you drink water after a long cycle ride and all that sort of thing. This was enough. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know what I was doing, you see. So then I went. And I slept and I went back. As far as my ride from Panjgani to Pune railway station, there was nothing. I was absolutely blank. Then I purchased the ticket and sat in the train for going to Varanasi. And all of a sudden, you see, the cloud burst. I said, what? What did I tell him? What has happened to me? What will happen to the society? What will happen to my friends, my relatives? What will I tell my parents? And it all came back, you see. It was a terrible thing. Terrible thing, I know that. In my lifetime, there are only a couple of instances, three times I have been frightened so far. And one of that was the first time that I experienced what real fright is. It says, what have I done? Where will I go? How will it be possible to leave that society there? To leave all those friends there? To leave our relatives and go there? For what? For what? With whom? Who is he? Everything, you see, just went on bombarding, you see, all the thoughts. I didn't know. But then, as I neared, you see, Nagpur, the thought came to me. But I said that, well, I'm not committed. My mind tries to prompt me. He says, well, I'm not committed. I said, by your grace, it is possible. So if it is his grace, it's well and good. If it is not his grace, it's well and good. So that last straw that I hang on was just this, that may his grace not make it possible. So, well, whatever it is, eventually his grace made it possible. So what happened when I returned home? Jaco?
Infiltrating and subverting the food. So it's okay if you stand on Maribor next week.
So what happened is, I returned home. And when I returned home, my mother was anxious to find out as to what had happened. So before that, you see, I could see my mother. My father had just come out of his bathroom. He returned the same day from tour. And he says, have you returned? I said, yes. But did you have any thought about the car? How do you leave your car like that? The car? And mind you, it was at the time the cars were very rare here in India. And apart from that, my father had purchased a car. It was an imported car. It was something quite different from the ordinary Fords and Chevys that we used to have at the time. It was a beautiful car. He said, did you have any thought as to how you leaving the car unattended like that to the station there? I said, I had informed the constable. He says, well, are they our servants to look after the car? But they knew us. He said, so what? But then I thought that what would he say? Then I would just disclose to him what I have committed. He's been worried about the car. what will he have to say, see, at the time? Well, I said, Father, let me have my bath and all that. Let me have some time, you see, freshen myself. So then I went inside and had my bath and all that and came back. They all assembled in the sitting room there. And my mother asked me, well, you came so soon? What was the message? Why did Baba call you? I said, well, Mother, this is what he's told me. So I just narrated the story. So my mother jumped with joy and said, well, wonderful, how blessed we are. That he on his own has a grip over us. And he has the grip. Now there is no chance for us to be lost. All this was just, you see, I didn't know what was all happening, you see, what she meant by it and all that. What's the grip? Whose grip? What grip? On whom? How is it that the grip is not to be lost and all that? Because he's holding us and all that. What is all this? I don't. So I just looked at her. I just took a sigh of relief. At least one side is favorable here. Then I turned to my father and said, well, Baba has said this about all else. well, he told me just this word, this sentence is, well, all that you see around you, you see, all this I collected for your happiness, for the happiness of my whole family. And if you all feel happy, you see, to be by his side, you see, I'm all the more happy. I said, I still hear, I'm still proud of those words that he gave, because I was very much afraid of my father. He was very outspoken, very stern, you see, very practical person. And to hear this from him was sort of, you know, the bath and fresh water, you know. So I was very refreshed, you know, after that. I said, what is it all about? I don't understand. So my father said simply this, that look, the time is very short. It was the end of May. June and July were the 2 months. So we had to wind up the whole show in 2 months' time. And it was a big show, you see. So, yeah. So my father simply said this, that look, whatever you do whatever you want to do. The thing is that don't ask me to undo that which I have done. It will go very difficult for me. But I said, Father, your signatures will be needed. I said, come, whenever everything is ready for my signatures, I'll put the signatures on. But you just see to this winding up show. I said, all right. So we started day's job. We started from that very day. And we went on till we were ready. And we started, and we reached here on 1st of August, 1938. That's how we came to Baba.
And you stayed where? Family quarters? No, no.
So you want me to go through all 40 years now? Well, at the time, you see, Nehru Retreat was under construction. You know that Mehrabad Hill, on the hill, there's the Nehru, you see, August 38 there. On 1st of August, it hadn't completed. So that was the place where the women stayed there. Men stayed down below. So this new building was also under construction, you see, where Padri stays now. There was the, where Sushila stays and Sivu stays. That was the main building at the time. But Baba was not neither at Lower Mehrabad nor Upper Mehrabad. So Baba was here, a bungalow. It's on way between Nagar and Pimpalgaon. On the right, when you go from here to Nagar, on the right there is a gray-colored building, big building, you see. There you are staying. It's known as, either it is called Rest House Number 1 or Traveler's Bungalow Number 1 or something like that. So there he was with the rest of the Mandali. So we joined him there.
And your father came also?
Yes, my father came.
He quit his job?
Yeah, he quit his job. But then it so happened in the meantime, within the 2 months, Baba sent a message saying that, tell father not to resign if there is still time for him to go on pension. But take a holiday and come and await further instructions. So my father didn't resign and he came. And then no sooner we came, Baba had a talk with my father and Baba sent me back with my father to find a small cottage for him to live. So we went back and I settled my father in a cottage in Nagpur. And came back. He had, I think, a few more months. I think he came in the month of one more year for the job. So after a year, he joined us also. But he was staying all by himself there in Nagpur. In the meantime, we were with Baba.
So were there those family quarters that are over by the hospital, is that where they put you?
No. I was, when Baba shifted there, then my father, myself, and my brother stayed in that cabin where Meenu Bharucha stays now. The Rauri cabin.
And Marwan must have been pretty small.
Yeah, Marwan was 8 years old.
Oh, really?
I was 21.
You didn't know what it was all about. It just happened.
Yeah,
it happened. You didn't know why. Hmm.
Then later, after you realized who Baba was, you remembered when you thought about Jesus.
Yeah, the later years. Gradually.
So how many years did it take you to realize that he was Jesus?
No, but soon after that, then the conversation started flowing, you see, and naturally I was there by his side almost all the time, traveling, touring, resting, nothing. all that he blessed me with was that I had to just carry out what he told me to do. It was very simple. Once you are determined, you see, once you are dead to the world, so what is left now? Nothing to, it became very simple, you see. So I just followed the whole thing blindly, and that became very simple. That was his blessing, his grace. That's what I call his grace. His grace is that which makes you do things according to his pleasure.
So then what did you realize
what you would do? So then what happened, you see? Then with the flow of his grace, you see, the first year passed off very well, the second year passed away, because the Blue Bus tour started and we went on, you see, on must tours and all that, you see. And it was, you may call the honeymoon period, you see. So it was something very novel and fantastic and all this, you see, and traveling and all that. And then he told her stories and all that sort of thing. It went on very well. I was young then. Labor and all this hardship mattered nothing. Nothing in his company. But then gradually it unfolded to me that, well, Jesus and Zoroaster are one and the same and all that, and this is the life that I wanted, you see. Mm. But now, with all this, as I told this morning, you see, mind never gets satisfied. Never, will never feel satisfied. All what it needs is to be just overthrown. It must be annihilated. Otherwise, it's never, never satisfied. Never. Never. You may comfort yourself that you have satisfied your mind. You may comfort yourself by saying that, well, mind is appeased and mind accepts the fact. And all, but it will never. Mm-hmm. Don't fool me with it. At least I have gone through all that. You may fool yourself if you want to. Mind will always question, mind will always doubt, mind will always have that. So then, once my eyes and ears were open to the fact that, well, he says that Jesus and Zoroaster are one and the same and all that, that should have assured me, that should have given me the greatest pleasure on earth, you see. But then, by that time, you see, I had lost the flavor of being with Jesus and all that sort of thing. You know, that whole thing was all just past. It was in the past, you see, to me it appeared. Because this was some quite different life, you see. And it was totally different life from what I had lived. Totally different. Where were those cushions on the velvet that I had used on this floor? There were the things, you see, that, well, we were being attended to by so many servants around, you see. And here we became the scavengers. You see, it was totally changed, you see. I was thrown out of the orbit, so to say, in a different world. So, now what happened? My mind started questioning, is he what he says? You see, again it went on and on. Is he the one, what he says, is, how can he be? Can he be that same one? Right. So at every stage then it went on and on and on. Till very gradually, after long years, it became stable with this conviction that he is what he is. Not because he says what he is, but because of his attributes. Because no other person could have this love. No other person could express this compassion and this charity and this patience. So these are the attributes only of God. Nobody else's. A man can love another person. A man can express affection for another person. But this is beyond affection, beyond love, you see. He must be an extraordinary person, my mind said first. Then he's a real good leader, you see. But then even that crossed the bounds.
He catch you every time you were thinking his fate, you know. Eric, were you thinking?
No. He was never that. But he liked to tease me before the others, you see, because I would rather say that, well, I don't know. So will I ever break my silence? I said, no, you won't break your silence. But I said that I'll break my silence. I said, well, that's up to you. You will, if you want, when you say that you will. But I don't believe that. I would say that. Mm-hmm. So that's how he would have a good joke, you see, with the other. He says, look, this fellow doesn't believe me. That's how you do. Something, anything would happen like that. He says, do you believe in this? I said, well, when you say it must be so, but my mind says this. I'll say that. And that was the greatest thing before him. You see, he gave us such latitude, such freedom to say such things. Oh, that's his greatness. Pardon?
When you come to the realization
before
new life?
No.
You want a new life without conviction?
But new life was quite different. It went, it came gradually later on.
You mean you went to the new life and you were not convinced he was who he said he was?
I was convinced in the sense that, you see, my doubts did come.
And those around him knew he was the Avatar, then, huh? Even, you know, before he declared.
Yeah.
Do you remember the time exactly when you knew he was the one enough?
You see it gradually dawned upon me.
And
there was not one single day when it crystallized like that, but it was so. It is so.
And your sisters went on the Blue Bus tour with you also?
Yeah.
And that your mother?
Yeah.
And
my brother also. That one also traveled a lot.
And after that, then they went back, he sent them back to me?
That's another story. It's a very long, drawn-out story, you see. You all think that, well, when Baba calls people, you see, to leave all and follow him. So you have to leave all and follow him. So what it signifies is that it's not that you have to just leave the world as I left the world, you see. You have to leave the world in such a sense that the world doesn't exist for you. So what happens when you come, leave everything and come to Baba? Then what happens? In my case, in our case, it so happened that for 4 more times, he told us to go and settle ourselves. Find a house and live in the world.
You also?
No, I had to go and make preparations for that. You see. I had to come back afterwards. Once we settle them and come back. Settle them and under some excuse. And he would bring out such beautiful excuses that it would seem so natural, so obvious that it must be so. It should be so. So, it's not the end of the whole thing by when he tells us to leave all and follow him. You see. I thought it to be so, but through other examples than our own, we found that this is the thing. You have to just dance to his tune, that's all. Go on dancing. It's not the end of everything. You see, you leave this and you join here. It's not the end. That would be easy. As Baba would say that, well, greatest sacrifice that is demanded of you is not to cut your throat and place it at my feet, but to die every moment in my presence. If I demand your throat, you see, just cut it once and put it there at my feet. You say. That's finished. But to die every moment in my presence is the greatest act of sacrifice. See, it was like that. It's like that, and so on. But it all is easy. It doesn't. It is not as difficult as you all dream or imagine. You see, it's not that. Of course, I say it now while I sit here. It's not difficult at all. Because why? Because His grace was there, or something. In my case, it was so. It was not difficult, in spite of it all, because it was. It had. I shouldn't say it was so natural. What should I say? What word should I use? It had become a fact that, well, there's no other world for us now left. There's no other reason why we should live, you see. Nothing is there. So that it was far easy. You see. All what we had to do is to just do exactly as He tells you to do. So in spite of my mind, you see, questioning so many things, at one and the same time, only on His divinity, not on why did He say this and why did He do this and all that, nothing. That never bothered me at all. Is He the one whom He says He is? That was the one that always questioned Him. The rest was nothing, you see, because there was nothing to query about, you see, because He was so perfect a person that there could be no other better person than in the world than He is. No better person, with His love, kindnesses, mercies, admonishing, everything, perfect. There's no flaw whatsoever, no flaw. I was not just a dumb person around Him. I used to observe all things. And I observed, and I tell you that. He was a perfect person. But then, being perfect, it's all true, you see, it's all perfect and beautiful, thus far and no further. And that no further business started when he says, I am this. I am God in human form. So there it all started, you see. Yeah. Is he? That's how it is. And that takes long time. That takes his association or his blessing. In an instant he can do it. Why he pestered my mind, I don't know. Pardon?
Well, just a little bit off. Like he was saying he was the ancient one, you know, for so long. And the avatar.
No, he would say all the time he's the ancient one. He's the one. He says, I am the one. He'd say. He wouldn't say anything. He sometimes would say, I'm the ancient one. I am the one. I am the one. Meaning thereby that I am he. Yeah. So?
Well, I was just relating it to Meyerstam and what was special about his declaration there.
That was for the first time he said it in the public. Public proclamation, that is. Otherwise, when he used to come to my home, he would tell my mother about it. That I am Zoroastra, I am the one.
Because that was after his declaration is the highest of the high. But I guess that wasn't quite... It was in the year before he had declared, made that statement, the highest of the high.
Yes.
Which, when I read it, it seemed to me, you know, like he was saying, you know, publicly.
But is there anywhere where he says that he is the ancient one? That he is the highest of the ancient? He says, if you take me to be so, if you do this, either take me to be an ordinary person or this. Don't take me anything in between. If you read the whole thing, well, the refrain is this, if you take me to be so, if you do this, if you accept me as the highest of the high, then it behoves you to do this. If you take me to be an ordinary man, then there is no question of your asking me. It's like that, the refrain is like that. Have you noticed that?
I hadn't.
So notice it now. Which year was that?
53 that he made that statement, and 54.
There is a clear indication in highest of the eye, there is no doubt about it, but a clear indication for the ones who have heard him proclaim it later on. That yes, it is there, so obvious. But to the public, you see, it is not there. It says that, well, if you come to me, if taking me to be highest of the high, then why do you come to me? I know everything. It's my giving, whatever is my blessing, you see, to you and all that. This highest of the high message, you know what made him give this message? It was in Dehradun. It so happened that one day, there was one, I think by name Saigal, his name was Saigal. I may be mistaken, but I think so it is his name Saigal. So he, young man, had married, you see, a young wife there, but somehow or other, you see, wife, used to have fits or something like that. And she would just go into tantrums or something like that and would sometimes fall down and remain unconscious and all that.
Epileptics,
you see, at the time, it was not epileptic, but something was there, I don't know. You may call it to be whatever you call it. You know, sometimes a person, she was so handsome, beautiful, you see, young, healthy, everything was perfect, but all of a sudden she'd get as if somebody possessed her, you see. It's like that. But with the epileptic, you know, you get that foaming, and you just, the tongue gets caught, you see, and you clench, and all that sort of thing, and your fingers become tight and all, no cramps, nothing of the sort. So he would constantly, you see, he had just heard of Baba, this young man. So he would carry this woman and bring it and put it at his feet all the time. So Baba would tell him that, why do you do this? If you want me, I am not, what do you call, I'm not a person you see would want to cure this person or give a disease to some person or anything of the sort. No, he says, I know who you are. I am convinced about it, and I would like you to cure this. He says, well, if you think that I am the one who is capable of curing this person, then that's good. I am that. But then, know one thing, that if I am capable of curing this, then I must have given this disease to the person. That's how the scale has to the high came into being. If I am an ordinary man, then there is no question of your bringing this woman to me. I'm just an ordinary man. But if you take me to be saint and sadhu or wali and occult power, user of occult powers and all that, I am not that, he said. That's how it all started. Mm. And then he gave this message to the public.
Like asking me to undo what I've already
Willed. You find that in that.
They follow up with the message. Just at the same time as that man was there, or did he?
No, later on, yeah. When we also felt, you see, when we also were so touched, you see, by this man coming, being pestered like this by this woman, so we also felt that, well, something should be done. But then Baba gave this message.
Hmm.
It was given during one of the darshan times in Dehradun. Yeah. The public, it was read out to the public. Because that's the place, you know, Dehradun, Rishikesh, Haridwar, North India, is a place where such thoughts abound, you see. That being miracles and being this and being that and saints and yogis and all this live there, you know, and these sadgurus and all that. It's all loose terms, you know. They have no clear indications, no clear mind about it. That's the place like that. In India. Mm-hmm. So Baba has given a definite direction by giving this message in Dehradun of the highest of the high. I like the message very much.
Yeah. After, it seems like, did you ever get feelings like, you know, when Baba would give such answers to you, that, you know, how dumb could you be to expect any otherwise? Sort of.
So I was not only dumb, but I was absolutely like a stone, you see.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, pity me for it. But, you know, what can I do? That shows his greatness, what great patience he must have exercised.
I know, I was wondering.
To allow me to be by his side. Me? A person like me to be by his side means what? That very fact shows who he is. Now, inspect or try to think twice.
Well, see, yeah, but anybody else too. That's the thing. Did you ever think like how lonely Baba must be when there's nobody in the world to share?
No.
You or anyone else, who cares? Who else would be worthy?
In that message of the highest of the high, there is one beautiful thought that he has given us. Something very profound he has given us about himself. I don't know whether you all have caught that sentence. He says, when he allows himself to be persecuted, when he comes time and again, when he allows himself to be persecuted by man, slander and all that, crucified and all that, it's an act of his compassion that even indirectly man testifies to the existence of God. Suppose if I am an atheist.
Mm.
Have you all noticed that?
Yes.
Sentence there, yeah. That's a very beautiful sentence there.
Because by saying he's not God.
By saying he's not God, that means indirectly testifies the belief in God, in the existence of God. Yes, he has used that. And that is enough for him.
Yeah.
So he permits himself to undergo all these things so that man, through his compassion, that even if man accepts the existence of God indirectly in this way, by persecuting him, means God's manifestation as man, even that is enough. It's good for, it's a blessing for humanity.
It seems to me, I remember, it says something like, but never should man deny his own self.
something to understand.
That is for the atheists. You see. Mm. This is, there are agnostics, atheists, and believers, you know. But as long as one believes in oneself,
right, exactly,
he believes in God because God is like existence itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, even Baba's physical suffering, because you know we saw this movie at our house where Baba's walking in Pluto.